Hey, everybody, welcome into another episode of Investing in Real Estate. I am Clayton Morris. This is the show where we focus on passive income, and our vehicle to get passive income is real estate. We talk about mindset. We talk about the things that are holding you back and wanting you to help take action and become a real estate investor. You know, I've overcome a lot of limiting beliefs in my days around money. I heard those things growing up all the time from my parents. You know, money doesn't grow on trees. We're not the Rockefellers. We can't afford that. And so those things were ingrained in my brain my whole life. And today we have a very special guest on the show, Matt Aitchison. He's a millennial entrepreneur, seven-figure real estate investor, wealth-building mentor who's had great success following. He had a really turbulent start, and we're going to get into some of that this morning. And he has a goal to get to 100 single-family doors. And I'm thrilled to have Matt on the show. Matt, what do you go by, Matt?
Hey, I go by Matt, Matthew, Matty, Mateo, whatever works, I'm down.
All right. Well, I'll call you Matt for the purposes of this podcast. Great to have you on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's an honor. Always love connecting with other amazing communities and like-minded individuals and all your listeners for the people who are really looking intentionally to level up, you know, not only in life, but, you know, specifically with their wealth building. So it's awesome to be here.
Well, and we're going to talk about some of the things that, have held you back over the years, because I know you're passionate about that, and I love your podcast, The Millionaire Mindcast. And that's one of the things that you really drill down on is that I think a lot of people just focus on the money, just the dollars, yep. You know, just the paper, the coins. And they so often forget that I think it's 90% of it ends up coming down to mindset. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at all of the wealthiest people in the world, yeah, they've figured out a specific channel or vehicle to help them achieve financial freedom. But I don't know about you. I don't want to just be a millionaire in my bank account. I want to be a millionaire in all areas of my life and take my wealth far beyond, you know, what's sitting in, you know, my savings or my investment accounts. So when I look at those individuals, and that's what my podcast is all about, studying millionaires worth modeling, and obviously success leaves clues. Each and every single one of them have built their massive life, not just their massive bank account, but their life on this foundation of a great mindset, having the right disciplines and habits. There is a success formula, whether we want to believe it or not, and it might sound hokey pokey or airy fairy for a lot of people. But you know, when I started buying into that, especially after where I started being on the complete opposite end of the spectrum and very skeptical of it, it's amazing to see what people can do and the strides they can take in their life and their wealth building journey, just by really plugging into investing in yourself first and foremost.
Now, I talked a little bit about the turbulent start to your life, to your career. Take us through some of that, and how did you overcome those things?
Yeah, well, I was, to kind of take a long story short, expelled from high school. So my senior year of high school, I was always told, you know, just like majority of, I would say, millennials my age, go to school, get a job, you know, get a good piece of paper that will enable you to get a, you know, $50,000 career and work your way up. And both my parents were actually in corporate America and said, hey, you know, if you want to do this, great. But if you don't, I wouldn't blame you, because here's why. And so I learned a lot from their experiences. But I was striving for that all throughout high school. And then my senior year, I got into some trouble where going back to environment and going back to your peer group, made some poor choices, got expelled for a physical altercation the first week of my senior year, rocked my world. And that was kind of the first real life, like, blow to the gut where it was like, whoa, I'm not invincible. Whoa. You know, bad things can happen if you put yourself in those kind of situations. And, made my way out of that, got into, UC Santa Barbara by the grace of God. And, I ended up, making almost the exact same mistake, my first year of college, and wow. I was facing a felony charge, jail time, some significant repercussions for my actions. And that was kind of like the big, you know, I didn't think lightning would strike twice, yet it can if you choose to take certain actions that position you to really see those kind of results in your life. And so I realized that at that point in time, when I really had some time to self-reflect, I looked back on, you know, really what got me there. And I knew that I had this vision for what I wanted my life to look like, this rich and fulfilling life that I had imagined. And yet I wasn't doing any of the things that were going to, you know, enable me to become the person that attracted that kind of life and those kind of opportunities. And so that's when I really started pouring into personal development and getting my mind right, investing in myself first, so I could grow into the individual that would attract those opportunities and relationships and conversations. And that's really kind of what set things off after I got through some of those challenges.
What do you think when you started overturning some of those rocks in your life, you had these altercations? Was it that you were living some sort of a reactionary life? Someone would say something, maybe it was an insecurity you would.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I were to say at that point in life, I was 19 years old, how many 19-year-olds, unless you have great mentorship or direction early on in life, are inwardly reflecting on who am I as an individual and what can I become and, you know, what are the powers that I have to go out and make this happen? And for me, it was a lot of what society had kind of like molded me into and what my experiences and relationships, environments had molded me into and told me this or enabled me to be in this situation. And so, I remember when I read the book by Brené Brown, The Gifts of Imperfections, and that point in time for me was like a major mind blower where I actually started getting intimate with like, who is Matt? I didn't even know who I really was. You know, I had all these tracks upon tracks upon tracks of either experiences or conversations or results that essentially kind of made me feel like I knew who I was, but I didn't really intimately know who I was myself. And at that point in time, when I started getting really in tune with the organic Matt, which for men in general, it's easier, I would say, for women, but just for human beings in general, it's a tough thing to actually peel back all the layers to who you are at the core and really get to know that person. When I started doing that and I started getting really real with accepting me and self-love and not being ashamed of all the crap that I've done in the past and all of the, you know, poor choices, because I think we can all relate. We have those experiences.
Right.
It was, okay, now that I'm my organic self and I'm in alignment with that, you know, I think of the four, you know, tires on a car. When one's out of whack, you're not going to go as fast. It's not going to be as smooth of a ride. So when I got those four, you know, areas of my life really in alignment, it allowed me to get clear on my vision of what it looked like moving forward. And I knew that every experience, conversation, individual opportunity was a direct reflection of the person that I was becoming, and it was organic. So that was really one of the big game changers that led me down this new self-discovery path and started opening up a lot of opportunity and doors for me.
That sounds similar to what I've mentioned it here on the show, but I've gone through too, which was just a total breakdown. You know, it was like, who am I? What am I chasing? What am I going after? Why am I doing these particular things in an effort to make money or running after goals that don't align with who I am? And once you really get real with yourself, I think that's what, you know, holds a lot of people back too, or they'll put on airs. You know, even if you go to a real estate meetup, I always try to remind people here on the show that if you're going to go to a real estate meetup, don't go in there and try to pretend to be somebody you're not. I've done all these deals. Well, then you know what? You're not going to actually make any connections in the room if you're putting on all these airs. Why not go in there and just be honest and truthful? So, you know, I haven't done anything yet, but I'm here to learn. I'm an empty vessel.
Yeah, that's such a great point. I think a lot of people in general in life, especially now with the world of social media, it's easy to put up this veneer of like, this is who I am or who I want to be perceived as, yet it's really not what's going on behind the curtain. And that's sometimes a tough thing for people to accept. But I knew that, you know, for me, for a long time, my video and my actions wasn't mirroring my audio and what I said I wanted for my life. So how did I get those two to kind of marry? And really, it came back to just being like, one, self-love, as crazy as that sounds, of just going, you know what? I have made some poor choices in the past. I look at it as kind of like the rearview mirror and the windshield. The rearview mirror is there to kind of remind you of what's behind you and to give you some perspective and context to life. But at the same time, if all you did was focus on the rearview mirror, you'd lose sight of the vision of what's in front of you and crash. So I didn't want my past, my past to equal my future. And then I was able to kind of what you talked about with vision and clarity of asking those questions of what do I want for my life? Who do I want to become? What kind of impact do I want to have? And, you know, all those loaded questions. when I started asking quality questions of myself, it actually led me to new discoveries of getting more clear on what it was that I wanted. And then I could figure out, okay, now that I have the clarity of my vision and my goals, now let's reverse engineer them. You know, I've never been the smartest, the fastest, or the strongest, but I'm good at following models and I'm good at executing on models. And so that was kind of me playing to my strengths, and I figured out what that looked like. And then I just started getting into motion.
That's fascinating. It is true. Once if you're scatterbrained and you're all over the place, you lack focus, even if it's just two things, you know, even if you're spread thin by two things, it can really hold you back. It wasn't until I got clear about taking that action towards, you know, whether it's single family investing, but it going down that path a number of years ago that really everything got on the right path. And for me then turning and saying, I can't do that right now. That's going to go in the someday maybe folder. Mm-hmm. I can't handle it right now. For you, you followed a similar path, which is single family homes. How did you arrive at that decision? What was comfortable about that for you?
You know, for me, it was, you don't know what you don't know. You know, I look at the four levels of learning and just really leveling up in life. And at that point in time, you know, I was unconsciously incompetent. I didn't know what I didn't know. And then I had a mentor actually show me, like, hey, single family real estate investing and flipping and buy and hold can be an amazing vehicle. And so I was like, the light went off of moving up from that, having no clue what it is, to now knowing there's a lot of stuff that I don't know about this space, but I want to make it a vehicle that I utilize and leverage to unlocking this rich and fulfilling life, that clear vision that I had for myself at the very end of the rainbow. So I decided to go all in on that. And that was one of the best pieces of advice any of my mentors have given me, is go deep then wide. Like a lot of us, we want to test out so many different things. And depending on where you're at in your career or your entrepreneurship journey or whatever it may be, it's easy, like you said, to get distracted and to go maybe an inch deep and a mile wide. And instead going an inch, you know, wide and a mile deep is the best thing you can do for yourself. And at that time in my life, I said, okay, single family is going to be the space that I really learn and master and go deep in. And I really started surrounding myself with the people who are doing it at the highest level in my market. And now obviously with the power of communities like yours and Facebook groups and all the different things that are out there, you can actually leverage, you know, the brilliance of collective genius together in mentorship without having to be in direct proximity to them. So I just soaked it as much up as I could. And then essentially, you know, it's one thing to have the knowledge, but, you know, really having the knowledge is only potential power. It's getting it into action that it becomes, you know, compoundingly powerful. So I got out there and I started really working, and I did it for almost 9 months for free for another big flipper that was flipping about 200 houses a year back in, you know, 2010, 11, when the REOs were just crazy in our market. And I learned as much as I could. So I worked for free, essentially. And that was probably the best thing that I ever did, was finding a mentor that got me into the game. Because I'm a big believer, is, you know, you can't get on base, you can't hit a home run or a double or a triple if you're not in the game. You know, you might strike out a handful of times, but if you're not in the game and you're just a spectator, you're never going to take that next step in your wealth building journey. And so I wanted to get in the game, and that's what I did.
A couple of things there that we'll unpack, because I think it's fascinating. Obviously, being in the game for a lot of people comes down to money. I like to say that I think money is just a manifestation. It's just a mindset shift. And so many people are held back by that idea. Were you a rich guy when you got started? When you were basically like an internship program?
Nah, dude, I was living back at home. I moved back home, living with my dad. I was in debt from college. And I was basically, you know, scraping by with borrowing money from my dad. Until I was in, obviously, credit cards and stuff like that. But here's the thing. I was betting on myself. And I think a lot of people, you know, I knew there was no other way but to be successful for me. And so I was betting on myself. I said, yeah, if I'm going to get in a little bit of debt here or a little bit of IOU here, that's okay, because that's my investment in myself. Now, it necessarily wasn't a, say, tangible ROI at the time, but I knew that I was investing in myself. So I was in debt, I was staying at home, and I knew that by pouring into myself and really going and adding value to some individual, that was going to reciprocate big time in the long run, which it has a hundredfold, thousandfold.
Yeah, it's amazing. And one of the things you said too was about the education. And we are, with all of the information available to us now, we can, you know, dive into Facebook groups and online forums. And but one thing I notice with a lot of that is that it also inhibits people's ability to get in the game. They spend the misery likes company. And a lot of people I find, in the especially new investors, they don't take action because they're talked out of it. And they're starting to surround themselves with the naysayers in their real life, in their virtual life. And they start to, you can't do that. You can't buy $40,000 homes. You can't buy this. You can't do that. I would watch out for this. Crime is too high there. Vacancy rate. And they, instead of soaking it in and then taking action, they end up just being talked out of it. And they like to sort of be around those negative people.
So true. I mean, for me, I was thinking what you were saying there was one of my daily affirmations is negativity and pessimism is not allowed in my presence. So yeah, of course, it's around us every freaking day. I mean, so – but I have declared to myself and I put it out into the universe, as crazy as it sounds, that I do not surround myself with negative people or pessimistic people. I surround myself with solutions-based thinkers, with action takers, with positive individuals. And just by saying that affirmation, not only is it okay me declaring it and, you know, letting other people know around me, and but it has enhanced my awareness too. When that crap comes into my world, I immediately disconnect from it.
Right.
So I'm a big believer in birds of a feather flock together. If you want to be an amazing real estate investor, whether that's in a community or a local group or, you know, this podcast, wherever you're getting your fulfillment and education and knowledge in the real estate investing space, go do it in a group and in a space that will really elevate you, right? If you're in a real estate investing community with nine people that are constantly talking about, you know, the real estate market shifting and don't do this and don't do that, you're probably going to become the 10th person who's pessimistically thinking that way as well. If you're in a mastermind group or a community that's saying, man, there's so much opportunity here and look how we did this and maybe we shifted our model a little bit this way and we made this, you know, work and that pencil, and now look at abundance versus scarcity is such a big thing. And if you surround yourself with nine other abundance-based thinkers, you're probably going to become the 10th. So I'm a big believer in just making sure that, yeah, there's so much information out there, overload, right?
Right.
So being careful of, you know, garbage in, garbage out. Same thing goes with greatness in, greatness out. If you can surround yourself with that kind of individual or that kind of community or that kind of mentor, what kind of opportunities and what kind of thinking are you going to work yourself into instead of really working yourself out of?
Right. If you see somebody who is really successful, I mean, chances are you're not hanging out. If I were to come and be mentored by you, I bet my day wouldn't have, I wouldn't be sitting there for 4 hours watching you hanging out around in internet forums, commenting on every social thread that comes in a real estate forum, right? You'd be out taking action, doing deals and making your company grow. And so when I'm in some of these forums sometime, and I really almost try to never spend time. People will write me and like, you know, why don't you spend more time at it? Because it's, to me, it's an absolute waste of time. And I notice there are people who will comment on every single post that's there. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, and these people lay claim to being super successful and they talk everyone out of taking action. They have something negative to say about everyone or everything. And you have to wonder, if that's how you're spending your entire day, that you can sit on here and write negative things about everyone, how are you really ever doing deals? And why are you talking all of these other people out of actually taking action in their life? It's so upsetting.
It's so true. I always think about, you know, it. To me, it's funny if we want to talk about like transparency, right? Mm-hmm. I guarantee you that if we were to be transparent as individuals, 99% of those people who are trolling people or saying crap on the internet or, you know, or judging or whatever it may be, saying discouraging remarks, most of the time those individuals, one, if you were to transparently look at, say, their wealth portfolio or whatever it is that they're talking about, they're not taking action on it. They have a lot of great maybe input in the sense of, you know, horror stories or what not to do or this or that. But if we were to talk about really taking action and doing it at a high level on a daily basis, those would not be the people that I'm going to advise for. Right. So just be careful who you're taking advice from and essentially what you're allowing to come into your world, because that all impacts us you know, on some level, consciously or subconsciously.
Now you're there in your office, and we're doing some video here, so I get to see your folks that you work with. So that's your office there. Tell us about, so as you started building your company, that first deal, and then has it, you know, it trickled into now you've got an office full of people you work with every day.
Yep. And I'm fortunate enough that I'm a big believer in the power of team. So everything that I've been able to accomplish would not be without the help of all the awesome people that I have around me. I have some amazing leverage points in my life, and I'm a big believer in surrounding yourself with people who are smarter, faster, and stronger than you.
Right.
And so fortunately, I am surrounded by those kind of people in my business. And it didn't start that way. You know, eventually it grew into something where I could say, okay, this cup is full and we're overflowing, so it's time to put the next one underneath it. And, you know, as you scale and grow, we've had a lot of challenges and failures. And I look at every single one of those as amazing launching pads to that next success journey of what to do or what not to do. But I was, you know, in the beginning, as most entrepreneurs are, as we're growing and learning, we're wearing every single hat in the business. And that's for the most of, unless you're throwing a ton of capital at it, that's what you have to do in a startup type situation. But now that I'm surrounded by great individuals, I can really focus in the areas that are my highest and best income producing activities, negotiating deals, meeting with clients, finding assets that work well for my investment portfolio and criteria for my long-term vision and goals of what we're trying to accomplish here. And that's what we focus on and look to achieve on a daily basis.
Before we wrap up, I just want to touch on some of your criteria for the properties that you're acquiring, how you're finding your deals, and, you know, what sorts of ROI do you look for on these single family properties? Take us through some of that criteria for you.
Yeah. So, my model essentially, for all of my flips, we're always looking for a minimum of 15% cash on cash. The great thing is my model is a little bit different in the sense of practically I'd say 90% of my deals I have zero money in on. So I leverage a first private money lender based on the down payment of, you know, what's required to close. I leverage a secondary investor as well. So on my deals, I have zero money in for most of them.
So you're picking up, so you're doing all mostly flips. That's what your company does. And then are you kind of cherry picking buy and holds as well?
Correct. Yep. So all, and we only, I don't work with other investors. I only do this for my company now, now that we're at a capacity where we can do that for ourselves and, want to flip at least 30 houses a year. And, now moving forward, trying to pick up 10 rentals a year. And what that allows me to do is essentially, you know, basically flip two or three, buy one.
Right.
And what I'm doing is I'm leveraging the portfolio income from my flip business to go out and buy me assets that are going to not only pay me an income, but going to build my wealth long term. So the big vision is to have, you know, the milestone that I'm aiming for, and I would expect to go well beyond that, is to have 100 properties completely paid off. And in my market, our average price point is about $250.
Sacramento, California.
Sacramento. So we're about $250. But I would say on a conservative level, if I had 100 properties paid off at a minimum of $100,000 worth in value, that's a $10 million portfolio right there. And if each one of those properties at, say, $100,000 value was bringing me in $1,000 in monthly rent, $100,000 month gross rents, and that's kind of like my freedom number. I know you talk a lot about your freedom number. For me,
yeah.
That's my freedom number. And then I will, you know, go beyond that. But that's the main focus. That's the goal. That's the, you know, gold at the pot of end of the rainbow for me on a weekly and daily basis that I'm constantly driving into my conscious mind and the activities around that.
That's great. We talk a lot here on the show about, you know, that vision board and having, you know, those images in front of you and holding true to that. And once you see it, once you write it down that you want 100 properties, you want 50 properties, you want to hit that freedom number, maybe it's, you know, 8-10 properties, and it's going to get you financial freedom, holding that vision, meditating on it, affirming it constantly. The universe conspires to make it happen. You might not have any money right now, but that's okay, because once you put it out there and you start taking action, you know, down that path, then people present themselves, the right type of people start coming into your life.
Yep. That's a great point. And I think you said the right people. You know, I wanted to highlight something in regards to that I think is, I don't want to say it's missing, but I would say there's a lack of it in a lot of investors, and that's integrity and ethics. In this investing world, a lot of people have this negative stigma outside looking in that, oh, you know, there's so many slimy investors out there. And I'll be the first to say, I agree with that. There are, but then there's people like you and there's other amazing communities that are now popping up that are full of integrity-based investors. And to see the compounding effect of that, not only in the community, with the sellers that people are working with the lifestyle and the wealth that individuals are building for themselves, this whole integrity-based approach to investing is enabling a lot of people to get in the game, as well as really pushing a lot of the non-integrity-based investors out of the game. So making sure whoever you're surrounding yourself with, just because they have a lot of money, or a lot of properties, or a lot of this, or a lot of that, may not be the right person because they may not have the right, you know, moral compass or, you know, values that are in alignment with yours. So when you are looking, when you are striving to achieve that freedom number, that financial greatness, I always love to challenge people to make sure you never do it in sacrifice of your morals and your values, because at the end of the day, none of that is worth it if you throw that out the window.
Yeah, that's really powerful. You talked about your failures. You talked about your successes. If you had to look and say, if someone came up to you, you had 30 seconds in an elevator, and said, so, you know, Matt, what does a successful flip look like to you? What would that be?
For me, I would say it's where I can obviously hit my financial return, desired return, while achieving the goals of the individual that I'm purchasing the asset from. Because there's a lot of situations where you run into it, and I've turned it down or walked away from some significant paydays because it wasn't the right thing for that person. So if I can kind of hit all of those things where financially I'm able to, you know, meet that individual's needs, and I'm also able to meet my financial criteria and also meet my investors' criteria and get them, you know, really invested in a safe asset where everybody makes some money at the end of the day, obviously that's a win. But we're looking, like I said, 15% cash on cash return if we can close it in 7 days. And my model is I like being in and out, especially when we're talking about, you know, potential market shifts or being at the peak of the market or this or that. I want to stay ahead of the market. So I'm a big believer, you know, we're, as the investor in the game on a day-to-day, we're about 6 months ahead of, say, the general public and when they get wind of when something's actually turned or happening. So tracking your numbers and your stats allows you to tweak your model as needed. But for me, short in and out kind of flips allows me to get in, get out within a 90 to 120 day window, which allows me to really insulate my business model on a peak market. If the market were to shift or tank or turn, I'm very flexible in how I can, you know, redeploy and reorganize based on being in this kind of easy, premium quality kind of flip model. So that's what I'm always looking for. That's the ideal flip that I'm looking for right now.
In 2017, 2018, as we wrap up here, what do you see for the marketplace? Where obviously you're in California, kind of an odd bird, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And you're obviously knee deep in flipping. So you know if there's going to be a shift and you're in those, I guess, more neighborhoods where you're doing your flips.
No, I mean, I'm in the hood in some of my areas too.
Oh, good. That's what we do.
My thing is I'll go anywhere where money makes sense. Mm-hmm. As long as, you know, if we're in a D or an F neighborhood, then I'm insulating our business model, and we want to hire, you know, cash on cash return just in case a break-in happens or this happens, right? I've learned the hard way. So in those areas, we shift a little bit. But in regards to the market itself, obviously, you know, crystal ball would be great. But I'm going to keep investing heavily until I see something changing in the trends. And so I think we got a good window. I think a big indicator will obviously kind of come into play once, you know, the Trump organization, you know, really makes some of the shifts that they're making, and we'll see some of the aftermath of that, whether it's good or bad for real estate investors. A lot of the research I've been doing is actually a potentially good stuff for real estate investing. But I want to be really focusing on my data metrics, which are inventory. Inventory is always a big indicator. So even though it might be a, you know, crazy market, people think it's shifting or this or that, I'm looking at my metrics. My metrics are telling me what's going on, not speculation from other investors. So I talk to a lot of agents and get their feel on what's going on in the market, which our market is strong. I can't speak for every market. Then I look at inventory. inventory is extremely low. We're still seeing a good, you know, for sale versus sold absorption rate happening. And then I'm also looking at, you know, days on market. So those are, there's a lot of different things that I'm constantly looking at to let the data tell me what's going on. And then based on those macro and microeconomics and trends in my market, that allows me to stay ahead of the curve and make the necessary decisions that will protect my business through an up or a downturn.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, Matt, I would love to have you back on the show, and we can dive into some more specific topics. I like to think
of this
as—
Yeah, we were just getting started.
I know. I think you and I don't know, just hearing your journey and connecting with you, I really feel like I'm like, this guy could be like my brother, you know, from another
mother.
We're
long lost bros, man.
Seriously. I mean, we have a similar path, similar journey. So it's great to hear that you've overcome some big adversity and taken action like this. And it's pretty amazing what you've been able to accomplish. So my thanks to you for joining us on the show. Where can people connect with you?
Facebook or Instagram. I'd say Facebook is where I spend most of my time. Matty, M-A-T-T-Y, my last name, Aitchison, A-I-T-C-H-I-S-O-N, or just reach out to me, Matty A at millionairemindcast.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. We'll link up all of this stuff in the show notes page. This is, if you just head over to morrisinvest.com/episode134, we'll have everything we talked about, some of the books that Matt and I were just yapping about here on the show. Matt, it's been my great pleasure to have you here on the show. Thanks so much.
Clayton, appreciate it, man.
And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. We really appreciate it. And thanks for all of your kind reviews. And thanks for pushing us up over that 3 million mark for downloads. We really appreciate it. Thanks again for all of your kind feedback. We'll be back here on Monday with another episode. Now go out there, take action. Like Matt just said, become a real estate investor. Get off the sidelines and be focused and surround yourself with the right people. We'll see everyone back here next week on the Investing in Real Estate podcast.